Let me finish the discussion of the three solutions of the Dirac equation by pointing out one more relation that is very important in practice, and these are so-called spin sums. So what do I mean by spin sums? I mean, we already understood that the these indices here, R and S, basically label the two spin states that a solution can have. And in practical applications, often you're not interested in, for example, experimentally asking how an electron of a given spin direction interacts with another electron of a given spin direction, but you have an unpolarized beam of particles. Yeah, so then you're asking, okay, what is the, like, on average, what is the interaction rate if you don't know anything about the spin direction for the particles? And that amounts to summing over all the spin states and calculating an expression like this. Yeah, so we will see more in detail how these expressions arise, but just physically, you should understand already now that basically, if you're not interested in the specific spin state, you basically want to sum over all possibilities. And this gives the following expression. Yeah, so first note that this is not a scalar product, it's the opposite. Yeah, so rather than multiplying a lying vector with a standing vector, you multiply a standing vector with a lying vector, so you get a matrix. And the result is the following. P slash plus m, where the m is now a four times, I mean, you should understand that this is multiplied with a four times four unit matrix. And we can derive something similar for the negative frequency solutions. So there we have a vs, sorry, there's an s. So it's important that it's the same spin x index that you sum over. V bar s, and that's a p slash minus m. So again, these are relations that you, like, in practice will use or need actually more often, way more often than the normalization conditions that we just derived before. So let's give them a double frame. Yeah, and well, I will just demonstrate how to arrive at this result for the first case, and then you can try to do the same for the negative frequency solutions. So just to demonstrate how this works, but it's, I mean, not too illuminating, it's more technical. Still, it's nice to see something like this sometimes in practice. So we have this expression. U bar s p. Yeah, so what is the u bar s? I mean, we saw that before. So this is a u s dagger of p times the gamma naught matrix. Yeah, so then let's just plug in our general solutions. Yeah, we get our u is here. So we have, where is it? There. Yeah, so we have again an overall factor of 2 times or this one squared, so 1 over 2 times e plus m without the square root. And then we should get this solution times the complex conjugate times the gamma naught matrix. So let's write this all down. So we have a 1 over 2 e plus m, and then we have a let's write it, yeah, we should keep the spin sum, so it's 1 plus 2, and then we have our standing component, I mean, spinner vector here, so e plus m minus p sigma acting on the psi s, and we have an e plus m minus p sigma acting on the psi s again, and then we want to multiply this with now a lying vector or spinner, then we have to swap the sides of the xi and the matrix that multiplies it. So we have xi as dagger, e plus m minus p sigma. We note again that the Pauli matrices are Hermitian, so we don't have to add a dagger here. And the second component, this was a plus, is in xi as plus e plus m plus p sigma. And then this expression needs to be multiplied with the gamma 5 matrix. So gamma 5 matrix is just an off diagonal unit matrix. Okay. So now let's first perform this multiplication here. So we multiply this spinner here with this matrix. Yeah, so what does this do? We get again a lying spinner, and then the first component is like, you have to do the multiplication like this. So you basically swap the components here. Now that's the effect of the gamma naught. So then we have a 1 over 2 e plus m, sum over the spins, and e plus m minus p sigma psi s, and e plus m plus p sigma psi s times psi s dagger e plus m. Now the second component, so it's a plus p sigma and psi s dagger first component, so e plus m minus p sigma. And then you notice that, like, when you perform this, this is essentially a scalar product then. I mean, a scalar product for where each of the components is, the result is a 2 times 2 matrix. Here, you will always get a sigma s times sigma s dagger in each of the terms. Yeah, so just need to know what that is, sigma s dagger, and in fact we want to sum over all the spins. Yeah, it's only these terms that have a spin index s. So we have a xi s xi s dagger xi s dagger. Yeah, and the normalization condition of these is, like, if you take the scalar product, the scalar product of the two, so how they are normalized, they are orthonormalized, so they give you 1 for the same s, but here we sum over the two s components, so that means this is a unit matrix. So 2 times 2 unit matrix. Let's maybe write this explicit. Yeah. So that means that in this product here, we can basically just leave out these xi's, yeah, because we just have 2 times 2 matrices here, multiplying a unit matrix, and the same here. So then we end up with a large matrix. Yeah, so we have this vector times this one. Yeah, it's a 2 times 2 vector or spinner times two component object times a 2 component object, just the other way around as you would have for a scalar product. So you get a 2 times 2 matrix consisting of 2 times 2 matrices. Each of the terms is a 2 times 2 matrix. Yeah, but so in total it's a 4 times 4 matrix. So let's write down all the components that we have. Yeah, so just using the standard rules for matrix multiplication. So we need to multiply this one with this one for the top component here. So that is then an E plus M squared minus P sigma squared. Yeah, then in the top right, we get this component times this component. So this is an E plus M squared minus, let me write it all out, so minus 2P sigma times E plus M plus, and then this P sigma squared, we have already calculated a couple of times, yeah, so this is just a P squared. Okay, and then the top, the bottom left component, we have something, it's the same calculation as this times this, just that the P sigma terms come with a positive sign, so we can directly use the same result as in the top left, top right, but just with a plus here. So P sigma E plus M plus P squared, and then the bottom right, now we want to multiply this one with this one, so this is again the same expression as there. So we have an E plus M squared minus P, well, I mean, this one we can already replace, it's just a P squared. So minus P squared. So just to stress this, every component, every entry is a 2 times 2 matrix. Every entry is a 2 times 2 matrix, yeah, which was obvious as long or manifest as long as we kept the Pauli matrices. So here we still have them, but here we should really remember that it's still like a 2 times 2 matrix, so that what we mean by this expression is this term here multiplied with a unit 2 times 2 matrix. Okay, so let's simplify this. We have basically well, the same types of expressions that we had before. So maybe let's add that as a step again. Yeah, so didn't we have this right here? Yeah, so this is what I'm looking for. So the expression for the P squared, we want to rewrite it in this form such that we get out an overall factor of E plus M. Same trick. E plus M times E minus M. Yeah, and if you do this here, then you see that, well, this term here contains an explicit factor of E plus M. This term contains it, all the terms contains an explicit factor of E plus M, so we can cancel this factor of E plus M. Okay, so then we have a 1/2, and in the top left, let's get this a bit bigger, we get an only one E plus M that is left. E plus M, and then we have a minus, and the only remaining term is the E minus M. So minus E minus M. And then here we have the E plus M. We take out one of the factors. Again, an E minus M. And here we just have to divide by this factor. So we get again a E plus M plus E minus M minus 2P sigma. In the top, in the bottom left, we have the same just with as the top right, just this minus sign becomes a plus sign. So we have an E plus M plus E minus M plus 2 pi sigma. Yeah, and here in the bottom right, we have the same as in the top left. So E plus M minus E minus M. And now you see that everything simplifies very nicely. You know, all terms appear twice, so this cancels the factor of 1/2. So then we just have an M here, and in on the diagonals we have an E minus P sigma and an E plus P sigma and an M. Yeah, and then if you remember the form of the of the gamma matrices. Yeah, so first of all, this is really just M multiplying the diagonal. So that's already explaining this term here. Yeah, and then the gamma naught all the gamma mu matrices are off-diagonal matrices. Yeah, and you recognize that this is exactly the P slash here. So P mu multiplying gamma mu and summing over the gamma mu that we wanted to arrive at. So this is really M times the 4 times 4 matrix plus 4 times 4 unit matrix plus P mu gamma mu. And this is what we wanted to show. And just to stress again, in practice, you will rarely have to perform these kind of calculations using explicit representations of gamma matrices or the solutions to the Dirac equation, but rather you want to use properties of these positive and negative frequency solutions that are listed here. So most notably this and the normalization conditions.